starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yama, SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and pays respects to elders past and present and ongoing in stewardship in knowledges since time immemorial. Welcome to Speak My Language Disability. Listen as we share stories of First Nations people who are engaging in their passions while living with a disability. Throughout this series, you'll hear inspiring stories from leaders and advocates within the community who have successfully pursued their dreams in their chosen fields. I'm Nari Pakai, and in this episode, I yarn up with Iconix, a deadly musician from East Kimberley. Iconix is a passionate songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and co-producer who produces music through a deep connection to tactile sound, offering sighted audiences an immersive and powerful sonic experience. As an artist who navigates the world without sight, her storytelling, deeply influenced by her family roots of Kulkaja, Puntulbi Mob, and the life growing up in the city of Wadjuk, Noongarbujja. How are you going today?
Not too bad. Cheers for having me.
Can you give yourself a little bit of introduction here? Who are you? Who's your mob? Where are you from?
So I'm Iconix. I'm 17 and I grew up on Wadjuk country in West Australia. And then my mum's side is Kukucha Walpiri and my dad's side is Pintipi from the East Kimberley and around there.
Can you share with us, how did you get your start in music?
So originally I've played piano for about 10, 11 years. I started when I was 5. That was started by a set of those little playbells that have different notes, and my auntie was testing me on the pitch and all of that, and that's how they found out I had perfect pitch, because they just told me what colors the bells were, and then they'd have me pick the note from the color. They'd tell me pick the blue one, and I just know which note it was. And then they were playing ones at the same time, so do two different ones, and then eventually it was three different ones, and then I'd have to name all the colors. And yeah, that was how my piano started, because then my cousin started teaching me how to play the piano. I then took up vocal lessons when I was 9, because I'd entered a singing competition over here, and I came second place that year. But a friend who I'd made along the way at the singing competition introduced me to her current singing teacher at the time. And so then I got in with the Boss Arts Crew, which is a not-for-profit organization over here, and they have helped me record songs over the years. I did my first actual recorded one was with a group of people, a group of kids, and we put it out on Spotify years ago. And now I go back and I listen to that and I feel so shame, but it's also like, oh, that's cool, but shame. But I've been recording music properly since I was 10. And then I put my album out at the beginning of this year.
That's a huge accomplishment to put out an album this year. Congrats. I know that culture is also very much entwined in your songs. How do you connect music and culture?
So one of the main songs I've done is a song by Dr. G. Unipingu, and I learnt that for the NAIDOC back in 2018, 17, one of them. And I had learnt all the words in Yeongu, and I got permission from his family to then record that. Well, I got first to sing it and then to record it. I learnt all the words, and then his manager, Michael, actually called me up to get some of the pronunciations. And I don't know how many times I'd listened back to that song, and I think the only one, I only had one word wrong, and I was like, oh, okay, but the rest is fine. It's like, yeah. But culture, for me, it's there's a lot of pain in Australia, lots of pain at the moment as well. But I reckon music right now is a good way to release all of that. And then you go about the day trying to educate people instead of having big fight, big arguments and that. And I reckon if people just did everything through music, it would be way more cool.
Being someone who lives with blindness, how do you utilize like assistive technologies and tools to help you get into those creative spaces and make your music?
Ooh, okay. So I grew up using GarageBand on my iPad, and so I just mess around and I used to mix stuff up all the time. And then if I didn't like it, I'd redo it. But I loved how everything was so interactive. So I'd use GarageBand and I'd use my voiceover to just tell me which, well, if I was on drums, guitars, strings, whatever I was using that day. But then my auntie Charlie, she's got Ableton. She will like flick through all the different synths and everything, but she's got these cool touchpads that I can just tap away on. And it's really cool because I can just improvise whatever I want. And then there are buttons on the side where I can, I don't know, mess with the pitch, mess with the key, mess with the time signatures. It's like I started off, how I put it, in like the beginners with my voiceover and an iPad. And voiceover is amazing because it literally reads everything on the screen. And sometimes that gets overwhelming, but it's all the information that someone who can see is getting. It's a lot easier than just randomly pressing buttons, I guess.
When it comes to your creative process, like with this last album, what kind of things did you use? Like, what kind of sounds were you looking for? Like, what's the vibe and the feeling that you like to put into your songs?
Ooh, so I love to mix in an animal noise here and there. And I was, for one of my songs, I used wolves because there were no dingo sounds, and I was so annoyed at that. But I love to put something that will like, that will not shock, but will actually get people to listen. Because if you just randomly hear, I don't know, an eagle at the beginning of a song, you're like, oh, what's going on there? Like, so I like to stand out with my music. I like sounds that are actually going to grab people's attention. So I go, I'll grab different animals. I'll get really cool bass lines. And then sometimes I'll find a bass line and I'll go, oh, I like that, but, and then I'll mess around with it. Sound wise, as individualized sound as I can possibly get. So sometimes I'll use a like I said, animals, or even like flicking the tab on a can of Coke in a half drunk can, using that as like a sort of hi-hat instead. It's so cool. But I literally use everything around me. So yeah.
When people listen to your music, like you've got a bunch of songs that you've been putting out for years on YouTube, but also with your album this year, what kind of experiences do you want listeners to have when they tune into you?
I want them to actually focus on the words and the music. I don't want it to be something that has to be specifically visual. Like I do music videos sometimes, but I don't want it to just be a visual thing. I like, and I'm hopefully going to start doing my next music video soon, and that's going to have more a storyline. So I like to make a storyline with my music videos. I like there to be sounds behind it. I like for there to just make people actually listen and think about what they're hearing, and like make sure it sticks in their head, not just, oh yeah, that's a good song. All right, next.
You've been in the creative space, like you've been making music and developing sounds and experimenting for a long time. What kind of advice would you give other people that want to get into music?
Ooh, okay. Nothing is awful. Everything is amazing. Don't just, like, you write something down and you think it sounds awful, but you'll come back to that later and you'll go, oh, actually, I like that. I like that. Or you'll make the weirdest mix on a mixing board and it's going to sound awful. Really weird at the time, but then you'll come back and you'll go, oh, I like that. So don't just throw things out. Everything is an opportunity for something, whether you have it now or whether it comes later. Just don't get rid of it. Keep it. And actually, like, don't say that eventually you will. Just go for it, because if you don't go for it, it's probably not going to happen. Don't get rid of stuff that you write when you're like really emotional or really pissy or really hungry even. Like, I wrote an entire song because I wanted like McDonald's. Like, it was so cool.
What kind of advice would you give for people who also live with disabilities but want to stretch their creative muscles?
Don't assume that what your disability is, you can't do it. Because I love being able to mix music. I love being able to do stuff like, because I did volunteer at a radio station, I loved being able to sit in the studio. And it doesn't matter if you can't see, if you're neurodivergent, if you've got a disability, you can actually do it. Don't just let people tell you that, oh, that's going to be too hard. Actually, find, there are people out there who will make it happen for you. So just don't let it pass you by. Like, if you want to make a song, actually put the music together. If you can, or if you can't, find people that will help you put the music together. Don't just let it sit there, because don't let your disability be the reason that you can't do it.
What's something that's really excites you at the moment? Are you looking forward to anything in the future?
Ooh, I have so many new songs ready to be recorded, and I've just done a demo for one of them. I'm so psyched to actually put it all together. And I should have an album out within the next year again, or some more songs at least. Whether or not there's a whole nother album, I don't know yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm also saving up for a new keyboard so I can actually, because I've got my electric guitar here, but I want a keyboard that I can actually use and utilize that for, because keyboards have cool sounds too, so I can like mess around with making my own stuff and plugging that into software. So I'm really psyched for that too.
And for people who are like keen to listen, to follow your journey and find you, where can they find your music or find you online? Where can people go?
On Spotify, look up Iconics, I-C-O-N-Y-X, and it should come up with my music. That's also on YouTube Music, YouTube, Amazon Music. I'm on SoundCloud. Don't know if I'm on Deezer. I will have to check that myself. For sure. Instagram, Facebook, iconics.au, and on TikTok for the same, iconics.au. Definitely follow, listen, tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like, but for sure, I'm everywhere.
Thanks for coming on and having a yarn with me today.
All good.
Speak My Language Disability is an initiative funded by the Commonwealth Department of Social Services. It is led by the Ethnic Communities Council of New South Wales and proudly delivered in partnership with SBS.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.